Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
Get ready for the number one internet radio show anywhere. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, it's Sam and Stephanie in the Morning. If you'd like to get in touch with the show, dial them up right now at 323-203-0815. And now, strap in for Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, August 4th.
It is August 4th.
Are you with us?
Yeah. You caught me.
It's funny because we both come in here, we don't say a word to each other. We're too busy prepping. And then it's like out of nowhere, hi,
hey,
good morning.
Sorry, I was just reading this article. It really wasn't even that exciting. But I was so focused this morning.
Does it happen to you when you really focus on something and you're oblivious of what's going on?
Yeah, and I understand how, like, men kind of tune out women, you know, a lot of the time, because women tend to talk a lot. So, of course. So, like, sometimes when I'm doing something, though, like, I will tune people out, and I'm so focused.
Yeah. I know, especially if you start doing something, and then somebody interrupts you.
Right?
Right. And it's like, shut up, you know? It sounds like a buzz in my ear, you know? I can't focus. I can't write an email and listen to what you're telling me
at
the same time.
You know? I hear you.
Yeah. And it does happen.
It happens all the time.
Yeah.
So what's going on, Sammy?
What's going on?
Nothing.
Nothing exciting. You know better than to ask me that.
Well, you know, I'm hoping one day it'll change.
Yeah.
There's that hope there.
Sometimes things do happen.
Sometimes they do. Usually, though, when they do, you're really excited and you come to work and you're just like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
and you're like talking
about
it.
You can tell, yeah.
Oh, I can tell. Trust me.
Yeah.
Looks like you just got gang raped. That's how excited you are.
Thank you.
It was just
that would be horrible. Unless the gang were women, yeah.
That's what...
That would be different.
Well, then there you go. It's your fantasy. You can have whatever you want, honey.
That's true.
You can do whatever you want. You know it's a slow news day.
Yeah, it is, huh?
When?
Yes.
They talk about... This is the headline. This is so ridiculous. I don't give a shit about this. Katie Holmes scared off a raccoon by barking.
Really? That's news?
That is the news.
Okay, folks, that's what we get today. The hell with the stock market. The hell with Barack Obama's birthday.
We know that Katie Holmes scared off a raccoon.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
That's
but
important.
But they have to tell us.
Yeah.
Who cares? Who's writing this stuff? It's ridiculous. I can write a better article than that. It makes me so angry that I even wasted 2 seconds of my life saying it.
Yeah. Well, we are going to have a guest in a few minutes.
I know.
We're going to discuss a funny book called Big Red Flags, and that's for women who are dating.
Yeah, relationship warning signs you totally spotted but chose to ignore.
Right. And obviously for women, all these books are for women. They don't write anything for men, you know.
They really don't, do they?
No.
Well, I guess if you're a man and you're having these same things, you can just, you know.
Dating for men. But this is all about, like, pickup lines and what guys say and how do you know he's not your boyfriend.
Yeah, I mean, but there's also, there's one that I, hold on. Well, we'll talk about it. But there's a couple, there's some good things in here.
Yeah.
I have to say. But then again,
book.
I'm reading this and I'm like, you know, yes, obviously the title is Relationship Warning Signs You Totally Spotted But Chose to Ignore. I don't know how long I could ignore them for, though.
Really?
I mean...
It depends how badly you wanted the guy, you know?
Well, I mean...
I guess
I know I've had desperate moments in my life, but I just feel like... I don't know. I just feel like at some point it's just like... you can't let this go on for years. And I mean,
no, not years, of
kill
course.
Yourself,
you know?
But it happens.
Yeah. I think they're talking about women that just started dating. And then, you know, we'll see. Why are we trying to second guess?
I don't know. We're
saying?
Just starting rumors again. Yeah. Let's just start rumors. That's what we do best. I like when we do that.
Yeah.
And then people correct us. It's great.
Yeah.
It is great. So, what's his name? Stepped down finally. The guy last week that came out that was, we talked about him. Woo. His name is Woo.
Oh, the, guy that was messing with his,
the daughter, fundraiser's daughter.
Right.
Who's making sexual advances.
A big contributor to his, to his campaign.
He finally stepped down.
Yeah.
Well, it's like it took him a week to decide if he was going to step down or not. Like it was.
How does he talk an 18-year-old or underage-year-old to underage-year-old? I don't know. Underage girl to have sex with him.
Well, or you just do it like Roman Polanski and just drunk him. Nope, that's not what I was trying to say. Damn it. What is wrong with us? Get her drunk. There you go. He got her drunk and he had sex with her. She was like 13, right?
Yeah.
So that's a little bit different.
This was a different story.
I don't know. I mean, you know, I feel like women, I mean, anybody can be easily swayed if there's a person in a position of power.
And that's true.
Who knows what he was offering her?
Yeah.
You know, maybe he was offering her some great job down the line or so, you know what I mean, or money, or I, you know, who knows?
Yeah,
who's to say? But that's pretty messed up.
Yeah, I think if she weren't underage it wouldn't be such a big deal, because you know, it's not like he really did anything wrong, you know, I mean, if it wasn't consensual it's a different story, but
right.
You know, but I don't think it would be a, you know, a big deal.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for telling us, Dr. Sammy. You really don't think it'd be a big deal. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
It's funny because the other day I was listening to Howard Stern and he had a guy who was a teacher, 45 years old, and married his 17-year-old student.
Wait, 45 years old?
Yeah.
Oh,
he
Jesus.
Was a teacher.
Okay, got it.
And he married his student. So, I mean, this guy got like in such deep trouble and he still ended up marrying her, you know. So he says how everybody hated him and they wanted to put him in jail because she's underage, blah, blah, blah. Of course, he got fired from his job and all that stuff. But how do people have the balls to do that, you know? I mean, if you were a teacher, you know all the consequences, you know.
Right.
Why would you even make a move?
Yeah, but it's like the actor that's 51 that got married to a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
But he's not a teacher, but still, that's just, it's just gross. It's so wrong. There's so many things wrong with that. But no, I mean, I agree, obviously. But, you know, at the same time, if he really does love her, then
that's what
they
claim.
Does he do?
Yeah.
Then what?
That's true. And he was married with kids.
Oh, he was. Even more scandalous. It just keeps getting better
I'm
and better.
Telling you.
What do these people do?
They come in there and they start talking about it. So it's funny to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
But
I
these
agree.
Things happen, I guess, you know? I don't know.
I don't know either. I can't understand. I don't want to date a 13-year-old.
No. Huh?
Or a 16-year-old or a 14-year-old. None of that really appeals to me.
What about a 19-year-old? Would you date that?
You know what? No.
Yeah, I mean, what do they have to talk about, you know?
I dated a... Well, I shouldn't even say date. Let me rephrase that.
I banged.
There we go. Well, no, I wouldn't even call it that because it was pretty awful.
Yeah.
A younger man and... Yeah. I can't be too talking about it, you know. I can't talk too much about it, but... let's just say I don't know if I can even date a guy in his 20s because
really?
I feel like they have so much growing to do emotionally, but more important, sexually. I don't think guys really get it sexually.
Really? Until they're in their 30s?
Well, I feel like, you know, you got to get control of your body, figure out how that works first, and then maybe come and... explore mine. It's just my little, you know, not saying that all men in their 20s can't figure it out, but you know, there's some guys that don't have control of their bodies yet and they need to figure that one out. I just feel older men in their 30s, 40s, really want to explore a woman's body.
Right.
You know, I think it's
and
a
the
different...
20-year-olds don't?
I'm not saying they necessarily don't. I just feel like it's a... They're in a different headspace.
Yeah,
and
they're more self-involved.
Yeah, and yeah. I feel... And women, just by fact, always have... Or always mature faster than men. That's just a thing. That's
right.
The way it is. And, oh, well, okay. We're awesome. Whatever. But... But, no, I just feel like there's just, you know, they got to take care of some stuff.
Okay.
That's all I
We get the idea.
We'll just leave it at that, because I could go on about this for a while.
Really?
Yeah. I'll just be nice. But it's just like, you know, I don't know. And, so, you know, me thinking good sex is obviously so different from...
from their thinking.
Yes. But I'm like, wow, I could have just masturbated and been okay. Thank you. Because then you have the after... Then you have the afterwards of, like, having to talk to them. It's just...
I know.
Everything
I know.
About it. You have bad sex, and then you're just like, get out of my house.
Yeah, especially if it's someone that's not really your type or something,
yeah.
And you just end up going to bed.
Oh.
It's like you get, like, yucky afterwards, huh?
You need to shower. Just everything about it is just gross.
It's like, what did I do?
God. That is the worst.
And then you have to live with the memory for the rest of your life.
True. Yeah. Unfortunately. And then if you ever see them, you're like, oh, bad sex. That's the first thing you think of. Why is that happening like that? But then if it's really good sex, then you're like, oh, that was really good sex. But, you know, it's just the bad sex is so much worse. It's just bad.
Yeah.
Just bad.
I don't think I've ever had really bad sex, you know. I mean,
what?
Yeah.
You are a lucky man.
Well, because I take charge, you know. I mean, I know what
how
to get going there, you know. You sort of like lead the way and stuff, you know.
Even if a woman, it's not even, okay, look, I understand what you're saying. And that's awesome that you have not had bad sex. Good for you.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know what, even if you do take charge, it's like you're really just having sex by yourself. It's like bad sex. Is
well,
like,
she's got to be responsive, of course, you know.
Okay.
So I had a couple of those that were not responsive.
Right.
Like,
so that's
like a wet noodle or
isn't
something.
Isn't that bad sex to you then?
Yeah.
It's like you're just having sex with yourself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? If somebody's
laying
there, not even like talking or just doing nothing.
Yeah. But it's usually because they're uncomfortable, you know, and they're younger too. I mean, that's like, you know, when people mature and stuff, they're not like that. They don't just lie back there and relax unless this is something you agree on.
Unless that's how they need to get off that way. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just good for you. You haven't had bad sex like that.
Yeah. Someone's trying to call, but I'm not going to pick up your call because there's the guest calling on the other line.
Okay.
I think it's the guest.
Let's hope.
So let's try that. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi. My name is Natasha Burton. I'm the co-author of The Little Black Book of Big Red Flags.
Yes, Natasha. We know exactly who you are, and we've been waiting for you to call.
Hey,
good morning.
Natasha. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Awesome. We're good. You live in L.A. too, right?
I do. I'm currently in Santa Monica right now, actually.
Oh.
Wow. Well, you know where to
Santa
live.
Santa Monica is nice. I like it. Where are you from originally?
I'm actually from the San Fernando Valley, so Valley girl, born and raised, and went to USC, and now I'm, you know, I can't stay away. So.
Wonderful. Well, that's good. Some people do like LA after all, you know.
Yeah, I love it.
It's the weather. So
exactly.
We're looking at this book.
Yeah, we just got your book this morning, so we had to really rush through it, but I did some research last night. And thank God for Amazon that let you read a few pages from a book, you know.
Yes, I know. It's really nice. When people kind of get a flavor of it, they can see that it's not, you know, the boring old advice book that, you know, a lot of these books are, so.
Right.
No, I like, you know, I was just kind of skimming through it, and we have a couple questions for you, but.
So give out the title first, the full title,
The
Stephanie.
Little Black Book of Big Red Flags. Relationship warning signs you totally spotted but chose to ignore.
Yeah.
Which I love the title.
Yeah, probably like
Thank
the
you.
Longest title I've ever heard, but it does...
I know.
But it sums it up, though, I have
it
to say.
It does sum it up.
And going...
I know, by the time you read the title, you've read the book.
Right, exactly.
There you go.
But I like how straightforward this is and easy...
And it's fun. It's funny. It's funny as hell, you know?
It is really funny. And you guys incorporated your own experiences into this.
Yes, I think each of us have about 3 stories in there that we've actually attributed to us, but there's many more that are actually our stories, but we didn't say to kind of protect the innocent or the guilty.
Sure. We do that on our show every day. Okay, yeah. So okay. Just so you, everybody knows, you wrote this with two of your friends, Julie and Megan, correct?
Yes, yes. We all went to grad school together at USC. Megan and I used to be roommates. It was just in Julie's wedding, so we're all very, very close.
Oh, wonderful.
Wonderful, yeah. So you guys have been dating a lot. Are you currently in a relationship, or are you still dating?
Yes. Yes, I'm actually living with my wonderful boyfriend of 2 years, and Julie is married, and Megan has a boyfriend of about 6 months.
I see. So. You see, all the good ones are taken, always.
Not me,
that's
Sam.
What they say, you know, but they're out there. You just have to kind of sift through the flags, I say.
Yeah. Oh, I hear you. So you guys obviously had horrible experiences, and you all decided to come together and write a book on what to look out for.
Yes, yes. We started, actually, Megan and I started with the blog, so bigredflags.com.
Oh.
And, you know, we started putting up our red flag stories of the guys we were currently dating, which, you know, sometimes didn't go over so well with those guys. But we did it nonetheless. And then Julie joined because she had so many great stories from college. And we started thinking, like, you know, this should really be a book and we can incorporate advice and kind of share a little bit of what we've learned. And, you know, we just kept collecting stories from other women from around the country and around the world even. And, you know, here we are today.
Yeah. And you've got some great pickup lines there as well. I wanted to ask you, how does it work when more than one person writes a book? I mean, do you guys sit together in one room and decide, or does everybody write a little portion and then the other one comes in and puts their own?
Well, for us, it was kind of a trial and error process. It actually ended up going really smoothly, which I know sounds like a lie, but it totally went smoothly. We all actually sat in my apartment and put up note cards of red flag categories on my closet mirrors until we kind of found a structure that we liked. And then we each took a chapter every week and wrote it. And then we'd come together, edit in person, go home, edit it a little bit more. So we all kind of traded chapters, and so each of us really wrote every chapter.
How long was this process?
We got the book deal in August, so actually just about a year ago, and then we had it written by December 1st. We did edits up until maybe mid-February, and then we had the final book by, I would say, June.
God.
Maybe May or June.
As a writer, it's just like rewrites and rewrites and I can't even imagine.
But that sounds cool, you know. So let's talk a little bit about the book. What's a big red flag? What does that mean?
A big red flag is basically, you know, when a guy does something or he says something, or a girl, actually. Our second book is going to be about red flags that girls commit.
Oh, okay,
there we go. Sam was complaining about that there's no books for men, but look at you guys on top of it. Good for you.
We're on top of it.
Okay, good.
And, you know, it's like you kind of get that funny feeling. You're like, oh, I didn't really like that. That kind of made me feel weird. But you're like, you know what? I've already invested so much time in this relationship. Or you've decided that, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. And you kind of let it go. And then after a while, the relationship goes on. You realize that you probably shouldn't have ignored, you know, whatever that sign was. And, you know, what we're kind of saying in our book is that doesn't mean, like, if a guy does something that's a red flag, oh, it's over, you know, kick him to the curb. It's more that, you know, recognize these red flags and talk to the guy or the girl about it and say, hey, you know, that kind of made me feel weird. Like, why'd you do that? Or can you explain? And just, you know, being open to having that open dialogue.
Right. And you have a section right in the beginning about how to discover whether the guy's your boyfriend or not. And I thought that was pretty funny, you know, because some of the lines that guys use or just the things that they do, you know.
It happens.
Yeah.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we had to start with that, really. I mean, Megan and I, when we were, you know, starting this blog, we were both in situations with men where we thought that the guys were our boyfriends. They were taking us to dinner. They were buying us flowers on our birthday. They were buying us drinks out at the bar. We were sleeping at their places. But until a man has defined the relationship and said, you are my girlfriend or you are not, you're not really going to know either way.
Right.
And a lot of guys will keep you in relationship purgatory because they don't want to have the responsibility of being a boyfriend, but they want all the perks like hanging out and having sex.
Right. So you say that you do have to have that talk at a certain point where you guys are on the same page.
Exactly. And if a guy doesn't bring it up, then it's up to the woman to be like, you know what, I'm just going to bring it up. And if that causes the relationship to end, you know, and I think that's kind of the fear sometimes.
Right.
I think it's better to know early that you're in a relationship going nowhere than it is to wait it out for, you know, 3 months, 5 months, a year, and then end up in the same place you would be anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. Now, you mentioned about guys, you know, that will go flirting right when they're with you at a restaurant or something. Mm-hmm. I mean, do guys actually do that?
Oh, hell yes.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Like flirt in front of you?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Yes. They don't care. Doesn't matter.
They don't care. They don't care, not even with strangers. It's with their female friends.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main things that, you know, when you're dating a guy who has a lot of close female friends, that's a really big sign to kind of beware and see if you're ready to enter into that kind of situation, because a lot of times the guy will put his female friends before his girlfriend. It'll create kind of a jealousy situation. If he's not willing to kind of, you know, tell his female friends to cool it, that's a sign he's probably not ready for a mature relationship. In an adult relationship, you don't have friends of the opposite sex that are that close to you. You just don't.
Well, that's true, yeah.
I agree and I disagree with that. I'm going to agree and disagree with that. Because I have a lot of guy friends that do have, that grew up with women around, that just their mother raised them,
right.
And they had sisters
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So they're used to being around women.
Right.
And that's where I'm going to say that, you know what, I also, and those guys have been with women that put their girlfriends first. I've seen it because they're my friends.
Right.
And they treat their women amazingly because they have been around women. So they get women their whole lives. So there is a difference there. I know what you're saying, though, Natasha, in the sense of like, it's good to see, like, you know what, if they're going to put their female friends before you. But again, there are guys that just grew up with women that just know how to be with women.
Yeah.
And obviously a girl shouldn't expect a guy to give up, you know, his lifelong female best friend.
Exactly.
You know, but it's really seeing the nuance of how he's treating you and how are you fitting into his life, or is he, you know, changing his life a little bit to let you in?
Right. And I grew up around brothers. I had all brothers. So for me, I have more guy friends than I do girlfriends, and I will, but when I'm with a guy, that guy is the most important to me, but I still have my friends. Mm-hmm. I do not get rid of my guy friends.
Right,
That's good.
There's
That's
no
good.
Chance that I will.
Yeah. So, but, you know, but like Natasha said, you know, it doesn't happen very often adult people really have, like, you know, like female friends and stuff like that. I mean, ultimately, they all want to take you to bed, I think, and, you know, that's just the way
maybe.
It is.
I mean,
men
I think
like
so. If you haven't known them for a long time, I think so.
I agree with that statement, but if they've known them for a long time, then that's different.
Yeah.
You know
right,
what I mean?
But you shouldn't be, you know, like, you know, me having a boyfriend now, I shouldn't go out and make best friends with some, you know, some new guy. You know what I mean?
But it's if, like, you've had a friend since, like, you were 4 years old and he's just your friend,
thing.
Then that's a different story.
Right.
Exactly.
So,
there's a lot of nuance here.
Yeah,
right.
I agree with
But,
that.
You know, I mean, it is an awkward situation. You know, I mean, just imagine, Stephanie, if you're with a guy and he's got, like, let's say, actually, I guess, you know, a guy that has female friends and stuff, you know, and then it's hard. It's hard, you know, because
it
you
is.
Never know what's going on when you're not there.
But if they've been friends, like I said, I mean, this is different. Like Natasha said, she's not going to go out and meet a guy now,
right?
You know, and become
right.
best friends with him. But I'm saying if you have somebody that you knew years ago, like you can't, you're not going to give that up. Like so I've had a friend, Jimmy Belansky, who I was also in love with, but I've known him since I've been 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's always going to be in my life.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like that. I'm not going to get rid of that, but you got to look at that.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
and really
right.
get to, when you get to know them, you can see that, you know, hey, have you known this person for that long? Or you just meet them at a bar and all of a sudden they're your best friend.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That's different. But I have
and
to
And the advice I give is also not to get defensive about it. I think that once a man or woman starts pointing fingers at their significant other and saying, well, you can't hang out with this person anymore, you know, the significant other is going to side with the friend.
Yeah.
Because the friend isn't attacking them, you know? So it's just bringing it up in a way that's respectful and that, you know, is honoring the fact that this person, you know, has a friend. And that's okay.
Right.
I have to say, I just read this one line, which I loved. It's under the, you did a red flag story and then it's under the bottom line. And it says, you're only a slut if the guy you're choosing to be sexually intimate with is treating you like one, and if you're letting him. Let me just tell you, that's so important because I have so many girlfriends that will complain to me and have complained to me, this guy's just using me for sex, like, and they feel awful about it, and they get so angry at him. And it's like, you know what? If that's what you are letting him do to you, then it's your fault.
Mm. Right.
I get so frustrated about, because look, like Sam and I have talked about this on air, Natasha, that, you know, like I've hooked up with guys that are just sex. That's it. And if you know right. that going in, then that's fine. But if you're, you know, this is great. Like, the bottom line is here. Like, you're letting him treat you like a slut. Mm. And then you're going to go complain mm-hmm. about it. I think it's stupid. It makes me angry. Anyway.
No, I agree. And you know, and for, you know, I've been in the situation, and it's like, you know, you're with a guy, and you're kind of just, you know, he says he doesn't want a girlfriend, but you know what? You'll change his mind. You'll right. be the girl who changes his mind. And it's like, you won't.
You
won't. I mean,
won't.
Yes, there's always exceptions, but again, it comes down to open communication, and a lot of times women refuse to have open communications with the guy that they're sleeping with because we don't want to hear the answer. Mm-hmm. The answer is, you're not their girlfriend. They yeah. just want to have sex with you.
Yeah. That's so true.
That can be hard.
Yeah, that's true.
So
yeah.
True.
So now I wanted to ask you, because all three of you live in L.A. and stuff. This book is probably more specific about L.A. men, right? I mean, do you think that men are different elsewhere?
Nope.
No, Stephanie's
yes
shaking
no.
her head no.
Go ahead. Let's hear what you say, because I say no. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, obviously we come from a perspective of writing it because we live in L.A., but, you know, Megan's from Scottsdale, Julie's from just outside Manhattan, and this breadth of stories that we've received from women, you know, have really come from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
So we didn't want to make it L.A.-focused or New York-focused or have any kind of geographical, you know, sentiment there. So what we really tried to do is focus on the problems that we saw coming in from the stories.
Right.
So the advice and the chapters and the sections really came from aggregating how many stories we got from women in each category, and then saying, okay, well, a lot of women are thinking that, you know, they're kind of being treated like a slut, or, oh, this, you know, he's not really your boyfriend, is really kind of coming out. And that's how we decided to write it.
Right.
So it really came from the submissions, I have to say.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, just kind of skimming through this since we just got it, but, you know, it doesn't really seem like it's just geared towards, like, you know, Southern California, the
yeah.
crazies here. Because let me tell you, there's a lot of crazies here, as
oh,
we
yeah.
all know. But I think guys, you know, in general, I think that, you know, I'm not saying they're bad guys. It's just we function differently,
mm.
you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you do need to communicate and say what it is that you want and not be afraid of it. And I think that that's a key, too, in this book. It's like you're telling these women to see all these red flags, but it's like they're learning, too, that, look, you got to stand up for what you want and say what you
exactly.
want. Exactly. You know,
whatever that is. I mean, what's a red flag to somebody might not be to another woman.
Exactly. Exactly.
So it's finding out what works for you and what doesn't.
Exactly. And voicing it, because women are afraid to say it. They are so afraid to say it. And because you're right, they don't want to hear the answer.
Right.
Yeah.
So
or they're afraid that the guy will run. And you know what?
Yeah.
If the guy runs, let him go.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
If he's going to run, if you're going to ask him a question, I mean, who wants to be in a relationship like that?
Right. He's going to run. If he
Not
doesn't
to
run
say
now.
I haven't done it, but.
Right. He's going to run now. He's going to run later.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just, you know, but it's, I don't know. I mean, men and women function differently. I think this is a really
Obviously,
great
yeah.
guide
yeah.
for women out there.
And it's funny. It's a fun read, you know, and I really enjoyed the first few pages. So I'm definitely going to read this, even though it's more for
Thank
women.
You.
But you're going to, she has yeah. a book coming out for men.
That's true. Well,
so
we'll
when is
that,
that supposed to come out? Do you know, Natasha?
Well, we don't know yet. We're actually, we're still in the market for a publisher.
Okay.
But we're kind of open to the possibilities of this. We know that men don't typically buy books, which, you know, is it is what it is. So we're either going to be writing a book for women about the red flags that men have brought up, and not saying that you need to change who you are or you need to, you know, do something different, but it's more see how your behavior is being interpreted for better or for worse.
Yeah.
Or it'll be a book to men about, you know, the red flags they need to look for.
Yeah,
in women.
Exactly.
So.
And also what women want, you know, I mean, it's, I think guys still don't get it, you know, so.
I think we just have a hard time getting each other sometimes. We are pretty different. I mean, we have a lot of similarities, but in terms of communication styles and, you know, that's really the biggest one of, you know, trying to figure out how to work with each other.
I agree. Wonderful. I think you guys should, you guys should conduct dating classes.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great.
Thank you.
Probably the next thing.
I think you guys should, for sure. Especially if men don't read, you should, you know, hold classes for men. That'd be great.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to send you, Sam.
Okay. I guess I need
some. We'll shape you right up.
There you go. So
okay.
You can get this book on Amazon, correct?
Right.
Yes, Amazon.com, or if you want to just check out more information, BigRedFlags.com.
Right, and that's your blog, and we're talking to Natasha Burton, of course, and give our regards to your co-writers.
Yes, please.
And
I will. Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. Good luck with everything, and come back with the other men's book.
Yeah.
We'd love
to
hear.
Okay.
And congratulations to you on the book, Natasha.
Thank you. Talk to you guys soon.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
How cool. Look at that. Your prayers have been answered.
Mine?
Yeah. What? Now there's a book for a man. You were just saying that. And look at this. You see how the universe works. You put it out there and look
I
what
see.
Comes
okay.
back.
I see. Okay. So you manifest it.
You
right?
manifest it. I'm so excited. That was so cool when you said that before we got on. And then all of a sudden she's like, oh, and we're writing a book for guys.
Yeah.
What? Tell me that's not fate. Come on.
Oh,
come
man.
Come on. That
but
was
no,
pretty cool.
Yeah,
I really
she's
like this.
Fun. And I like to read and talk about dating because I think it's so funny. You know? And
you think it's so funny? Oh, you crack me up.
Yeah.
I love it.
So I don't know. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, she says we're different and we are different. You know, I mean, guys like will send photos of their genitals to women
oh,
and stuff. And
don't
I'm just,
act like women haven't done it, honey.
Really? Women
oh,
do it?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm. Uh-huh. Because this guy is talking about sex and stuff and he's asking, you know, are you an exhibitionist?
Who?
And
what are you looking at?
He's, he's like sex therapist or something.
Oh,
and he's got a little article here.
Oh.
If you're an exhibitionist, and it says that, you know, women, you know, where did I see this? That, you know, I mean, obviously women don't get turned on by those pictures as much as men would, you know. So,
I would say there's a lot of
truth. You don't agree, huh?
No. I say there's a.
No,
a
I mean, I like to hear like disagreements because
yeah.
sometimes it's like they just generalize about people.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but I just think that, you know what, you can't. Yeah, they're generalizing here because you cannot say that women don't enjoy that and women aren't, you know, visual at times or dirty or, you know, naughty.
But it's probably
way,
from
but...
someone that you know, right? I mean, if you're like looking to meet someone
right?
or something,
okay.
and they sent you a picture of their dick, you know, I mean, would you like that? Would
oh,
that
whoa!
Turn you on?
Hold on. Hold on.
That's what I'm asking.
Okay, hold on. First of all, that doesn't usually happen if you just are meeting somebody and all of a sudden they're like, you're talking to them on the phone and then they decide to show you a picture of their dick. Like, that doesn't usually happen.
No, before, like if you want to date them and, you know, like on a dating site or something, you know, or something
that
like that.
That doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen?
Maybe on nameyourprice.com.
You try Craigslist to see what's going on.
Well, okay, that's not really... Craigslist is more like... I don't know. I mean, I've never gone on there for any kind of...
Yeah. No, but it's fun to watch. You know, sometimes I get curious and I check out what people do, you know? And the guys all have pictures of their dicks.
Okay,
and the
well,
women
then
don't.
That's a little far. But, I mean, on these dating sites like eHarmony, I don't think that they're allowed to do that. I
probably
think there's people
not.
Monitoring... Well, you aren't J-Date.
No, but you can send it to them. I'm sure you can send any picture you want.
Well, it's probably through their phone.
Or
no, yeah, I wouldn't say
no,
through.
No, whatever.
Not through that
not
site.
Not through the site.
Right. Maybe through email, sure.
Mm.
But not through the site, you can't. I'm sure that
you don't
will.
Think it lets you exchange pictures on the site?
I'm going to say no, but I could be totally wrong.
Okay.
I'm going to say no, though. But that's so disturbing. If all of a sudden I'm at my computer and I'm like talking to this guy and all of a sudden a picture pops up and it's of his dick, I'd be like, okay. Awesome. And what do you want me to do with that? I wouldn't even know what to do or say. Like, it's just, you know, if you're seeing somebody or you've already slept with them, like...
Oh, that's
and
different.
You yeah, and you have this kind of... I mean, women and men send pictures back and forth, but that's kind of weird, like, that a guy's just sending you his penis
right away. In hopes to turn you on, you know? That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's like, you know, I don't care how good-looking your penis is. I don't need to see it right then and there. I mean... If I want to, I'll go look at porn. I just don't. That doesn't, like, it's just stupid. Like, I would look at that guy and be like, you're a fucking moron.
Yeah.
Delete. That's what I would do,
yeah.
to be honest. I'd be like, you're an idiot. Done. I have no time for morons like that.
So
that
Anthony Weiner wouldn't have gotten far with you with all
yeah,
his
no,
pictures.
Yeah, no, not so much. Well, first of all, I like dorky guys.
Yeah.
I really do. But no, he is not even remotely attractive, that man.
Mm.
I would be so... grossed out.
So the picture would not have turned you on or anything?
Not of his wiener. Not even... Not of Wiener's wiener. I would not be turned on.
Yeah. You
so
see,
good.
Because look what he said. He says, while most women probably don't get turned on by random photos of guys' genitals, that's not to say that women don't also experience a power and pleasure in being desired. Hence, the female propensity to engage in other acts of exhibitionism just as much as men.
Yes, that's true. Okay. This is
so
a
he's
guy,
saying
a guy,
like random pictures. So he's this, talking about random photos.
It's yeah, but it's like, look, women want to be desired, but you know what? We want to be respected.
Right.
So if we know that you respect us, or at least you can really pretend and that you're a great actor. You know what I mean? Like if we think that you respect us, but you still desire us, you have us then.
Yeah.
But like just to send random pictures of your genitalia, like that is like, that's so disrespectful, especially if you don't know the person. Like
right.
if you've slept with this person, that's one thing. But if all of a sudden you're just texting pictures of your dick to random girls, like that's just a little disturbing. Then it just becomes, well, it just becomes gross. Like it becomes like you're like a...
Right. Because women don't like focus
creeper.
On body parts like men do, you know? So it's different.
It really is
women
different.
Women look for the whole package, I think, you know?
It's really different. And women's bodies are a lot sexier than men, so it's like men want to see that, and men are more visual than women.
Absolutely.
So it's different. You can't like, oh God, this guy's a moron. Who's ever writing this? I'm sorry. Like he's like, you can't. It's hard to generalize here. Like
right.
you can say yes. Like obviously men get more turned on by it, but it's, you know, it's just like I don't know. Like men, don't be that stupid. Like respect women. You know, find a woman that's okay with just hooking up with you, but respect them.
Right. Well, some guys don't realize that women are not turned on by this or, you know, not necessarily. So they do it, you know. They think, well, because this is what would turn a guy on, you know, if the woman sent them pictures of her genitals.
I think some guys, I think some guys know it and they just don't care.
Yeah.
And then some guys really don't get it.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
That's
yours.
That's my thought.
Okay.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, somebody posted your interview on your page on Facebook, and I checked it out with Queer Magazine or something.
Oh, yeah. I did one for Queer Magazine for Rose.
Yeah.
That's
pretty cool. So when did you do the interview?
Oh, my. I actually just did it last week, funny enough, and I'm
oh, really?
Shocked that
and
they already
up.
Posted it. Yeah. But it was everything's like...
It's pretty cool.
Thank you. I've done a few interviews for Rose now.
Her We're morning host here is becoming very famous. And
okay.
Wow.
We'll see.
But thanks for mentioning the show. That was nice.
Yes, I did mention the show.
You did.
I did.
For a while there, I was thinking, well, is she going to say anything about it?
Because a lot of it was geared towards, you know, bisexuality. And since... This is such a topic that's not really covered. It's more so about this. And
right.
this is giving the gay community, the bi community, whatever, like a platform, our
right.
web series. So it's super important. So that's what all the questions are talked about here.
Right,
it's talked about people, or they're asking the questions of like, you know, is it harder for a man to come out than a woman
right.
bisexually? Do you think, have you had a lot of support from the gay community? You know, are people of even straight people watching the show, like not just, you know, so it's obviously something that's, you know, a little political, I guess you could say in a way, but I've done quite a few interviews for this, but then at the very end, the last question was like, so what else are you working on? Do you want
right,
to, you know, promote anything? And I said, hells yeah.
And you better,
Hells yeah, I'm going to promote my
better.
Show, damn it. You would have my ass, wouldn't you?
I was looking for it in the interview. Come on, mention the show.
There you go. Yeah, and I just did, I'm the cover for Lesbian News for this month, too, so.
The cover?
Well, like, we are roses, so.
Oh, I
which
see.
Which is, they did a huge article on us and me and the two other actresses. And it's a good article, and Kyle and the director and writer, and it's just cool. Like, I like being part of a series that, you know, is out. It's talking about something that's not really talked about, you know, and I think it's very important. And I think it's important to just not judge people and accept people and let them live the life that they want to live as long as they're not hurting anybody. And,
right.
you know, I think that this is very important. It's giving the bi community a voice.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And I think that that's awesome.
Yeah.
So
now, I mean, would you have, I mean, I don't know, I think we may have talked about it and stuff, but I mean, would you have sex with two guys at the same time and then watch them do each other? Would that turn you on?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe.
So you're not into bisexual men, you're more into bisexual women.
I don't know. I can't really say. I think I might, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, to be honest.
Think about it. Get back to us on
I
that.
Will think about
we
it.
We really need to know.
Okay. I'm sure you do. I don't know. I'll have to think about that one.
Okay.
So I'll let you know.
All right. So okay, did you hear who wants to get married?
Who?
Lance Bass.
Oh, I heard that. Damn it. That was good. I did hear that. Fuck, I forgot. I know. I saw that. I actually saw him at a party shortly after he came out with some, like, hot guy.
Really?
And, yeah, I mean, he's just, yeah, I mean, good for him. He wants to get married because New York obviously passed.
Right. But listen to what he says. I mean, this is like a little weird here.
Okay.
I definitely want that. I'm a southerner. We dream of having family and kids, and the parents want grandkids. That's all they care about. Give me some grandbabes. So, I mean, he's describing this like a normal family, but you know it's not going to be a normal family.
Well.
You know?
Yes and no. I'm going to... I see what you're saying.
No,
I
mean, you know, the thing is, you know, they talk about family and kids and stuff. I don't think that's what his family wants, you know, to be honest with you.
Well, look, I think that I'm not going to speak because, you know, as a parent, if my kid came to me and said he or she was gay, I would throw a big party and say, congratulations, good for you.
Yeah, well, because you're open about it.
Well,
many people
I am.
Are not.
And, you know, I respect that some people aren't. And I respect people in the southern states that really, not saying that people are closed-minded there, but it's a different world.
Right.
But you know what? I think that at first it might be difficult for parents. And I think some might never be open to it. And I think there's some down the line that do open to it.
Right.
You know, Ellen DeGeneres' mom had a really hard time with it when she came out.
Really?
And she finally wrote a book about it.
Mm.
And, you know, was saying, like, you know, that now she accepts her and she loves her regardless and whatever. And I think that, you know, as a parent, you have to eventually let your kid go and just say, look, if this is what makes them happy, you know, this is their family.
Right.
And it might not be the traditional way. But they have a family and they have kids, and I'm going to love these kids the way I'm going to love any other kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in our society, things are changing. And I think that it's wonderful to change in this way, to accept everybody to be equal and, you know, and not really have so much judgment on what people do.
Right. Now, their kids, do you think they're going to feel equal when they don't have a mom or something? You know,
oh, I
they're
think there's going to be bullies.
Raised up with,
you know, I think there's going to be bullies.
Two guys, you know.
I think there's going to be bullies.
Not just bullies, but you know, anything. I mean, I think they're missing out on a part that the traditional kids get, you know, with having a mother and a father, you know. So, I mean, you know, I'm all for freedom and do whatever you want and stuff. I just don't know what happens to the kids.
You know, I see what you're saying. I do. And I totally respect your opinion. I don't think that there's...
But I think you're full of shit. Go ahead.
I didn't say that. I just think, like, you know what? I don't necessarily think that they're really losing anything. And I think if you look at that way, then you are. But I feel like, you know what? Yes, I see what you're saying.
Mm.
But, you know, two lesbians, you know, they might have somebody who's a little bit more butchy and can teach them some manly stuff. You know what I mean? But like, and then you have two gay men that maybe one of them is a little bit more femme and can be a little womanly, you know, womanly, if I can speak. But, you know, I don't know. I have to say, I think it's awesome that we can really start practicing what, you know, who we want to marry and who we want to be with. And, you know, there's going to be still people that aren't going to be okay with it. And that's fine. I mean, it is what it is. But
you know, I was thinking that's a great idea for a book, you know, to research people that grew up in gay families, you know, and see what became of them, you know, if it really affected their growing up, their maturity and that sort of thing. You know,
that would be interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like probably, you know, but then again, you're okay. So you're bringing this up, but it's like, what about kids that have grown up with single mothers or single fathers?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Gonna,
you know what I mean? And that the woman is straight, but she doesn't have a husband around.
Right.
Or the father's straight and he doesn't have a wife around.
Right. And that's another thing that can hurt a kid, you know, when you don't have both parents like around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's different when you're divorced, but still both parents are involved. That's a different thing, you know. But you're also right. I mean, if you grow up in a, let's say, like traditional home and heterosexual, why couldn't I think of this? But You grew up in a traditional home, and there's abuse all the time and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. That can't possibly be good.
Right.
You know.
This is I agree, and I was just going to say that.
So this is not to say that all traditional families are good.
Right. That's what I have a issue with. Mm-hmm. With certain religions, mm-hmm. and I love religion. I believe in God. I believe in the universe. I don't think any religion's better than the other. I think they're really all amazing. But what I have a problem with is when a religion preaches for a couple to stay together, mm-hmm. who is abusive to each other.
Right.
How is that good for the child?
No, it's not.
And then you're going to tell, this is where I get angry, and then you're going to turn around and you're going to tell two loving women or two loving men, mm-hmm. that they cannot be married and raise children in a loving home, that's, I think, is fucking bullshit. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It makes me so angry because ultimately it's this. You want to create a loving home for yourself, for your partner, and for your child, your
right.
children.
Right.
And that is the most important. That should be above anything else, mm-hmm. is love. And that's what hurts my heart more than anything. And I'm sure people will write into me and complain and yell at me and all this stuff. But you know what? That is the most important thing to me. Mm. And I think that I can't stand by somebody saying, you know what? Divorce is not okay. Mm. You should stay in an abusive relationship.
Okay.
You know what?
Yeah.
Abuse is an awful thing. I've been in it. And let me just tell you, if you stay in it, it can lead to death. And how is it okay if a man kills his wife? And the child sees that. Mm-hmm. Actually, this is just in the news. Another thing, another man, a wife vanishes, and the husband flees to Venezuela with his daughter.
Really?
So now they're trying to, mm-hmm. they're going to go after him. But
right.
how can they go after him in Venezuela
right.
and arrest him? But it's like, this is what I'm, like, that's not okay. That's unhealthy for a child to grow up in.
Well, of course, but I don't think that's a traditional family.
It's not a traditional, but I'm just saying, like, you have a husband and a wife there, and, mm-hmm. you know, but you hear about this, like, men killing these wives and whatever the case may be. I mean, you know, women killing husbands, women cutting off husbands' dicks because they're going to be divorced. Like, it's just like, you know what I mean? There's all this other shit going on, but, you know, I understand what you're saying. It'd be an interesting thing, but you know, then you should interview people with single mothers and single fathers who are straight.
Right.
This shouldn't, you know, I don't think really gay has anything to do with it. I think that.
Yeah, but I think single parents is not ideal for a kid either.
I think it's difficult.
I mean, I'm not saying that it's necessarily a negative thing. I'm just saying that.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah. You know, they have to make do with what they have.
Yeah.
You know, and. You know, some it's obviously difficult for a single mother or a single father. They have to bust their ass. They have to provide for their children, mm-hmm. you know, and be there for them, you know, work for them and provide food and a loving environment. And it's got to be really freaking rough.
Yeah.
Really rough. But you know what? I feel like our society is changing and I feel like people are more accepting of people that are different and what they choose. And I think eventually things will be accepted.
Yeah.
You know, but it's...
Well, it's moving in that direction.
Yeah, you know?
So
and I just hope one day that we are all equal in every way, no matter what we believe or what our color, our race is, and nobody's better than anybody else. And mm-hmm. I sound like I'm in a Miss America pageant.
Yeah.
Do the Miss America.
I just want a beautiful, beautiful life. Everybody to get along.
I believe that. I believe that people are good. I think that a lot of things when people react in such horrible ways or are prejudiced or mm-hmm. judge or are harm, you know, kill other people, it's out of fear. It is out of fear.
Yeah.
You know, and that's fear is a horrible, horrible emotion to have, you know. Mm. It's very debilitating.
Yeah.
I know when I'm like, I've lived in a lot of fear in my life and it's really, really debilitating. Mm. You don't realize how bad it is. I'm sure everybody's gone through it.
Yeah. Well, not me. But, you know, I never feared a person per se. But
really?
But that's a good thing. Yeah.
That's good. Good for you.
Yeah.
And
if I do start fearing someone, I'll get a gun and,
there we go.
And then we'll see.
And then you'll be part of the NRA. Great. Okay, Charlton Heston. Did you see that for Bowling for Columbine? He was, did you ever see Bowling for Columbine?
No, I've never seen it.
Oh, it was
no.
a great documentary Michael mm-hmm. Moore did, and he tried to interview Charlton Heston on the NRA, because he was, you know, Charlton Heston, the actor, Planet of the Apes, everybody. Okay?
Right.
He was a big,
we all know him.
He was part of the NRA,
right.
the National Rifle Association or whatever, and he, big advocate for it.
Yes.
And I guess the day of Columbine, he was actually, had flew to Colorado to do a convention, sorry, you know, to speak mm-hmm. at an NRA convention.
Really?
Like the day of Columbine.
Yeah.
And they
yeah.
try to interview him, like, what are you doing? You're promoting guns, and these kids go in there to the school and murder these innocent people,
mm-hmm.
you know? And he didn't speak on camera about it. He
yeah.
wasn't, he wanted no part of it, which I understand because, I mean, you know, I mean, whatever. I mean, he can practice it, but I don't necessarily believe in guns. I don't
yeah.
think they're good.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, folks, this is the show for today. Thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, Sammy.
Thank you, Natasha, for calling.
Yay.
And we'll talk to you all tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Stephanie in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 10 until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you have a question for our hosts, or if you would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all communication to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Stephanie is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.